Most of you at least know of John Paul II. Your parents, and I probably have the same age as your parents, we designate ourselves as a John Paul II generation. Now, he marked us profoundly. And I think also your parents, they wouldn't be maybe that Catholic, that Christian, without John Paul II. He was a man of an amazing holiness. But why I'm bringing him up is because he was the Pope of the youth, and he will always be the Pope of the youth. He instituted the World Youth Days, and he visited about 100 countries, I think. No, 100 journeys to foreign countries. He, 26 years of his pontificate, left a profound impact on the whole church. So, and one thing he was, I encourage you really to go to the Vatican website and pull up his sermons and his speeches to the youth during the World Youth Days. They're profoundly marking you, and they will really give you a lot of inspiration. He really understood the youth as almost no one else. And one thing he would always tell the youth, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to be holy. Also, when he was elected Pope, the first thing came out, St. Peter's Square, do not be afraid. And this is so important. We have so many fears today. What are we fear? What do we have fear of? It's often maybe not to have the human respect or not to fulfill a certain dream. Maybe to lose our comfort. It's a little bit too warm, so I need an air conditioning. And maybe not having enough power, enough career, enough money, and so on. So a lot of fears we have, and these are worldly fears, and they are evil. Teresa de Avila said, the greatest weapon of the devil is instilling fear in the people. And this is what he always does. He always wants to put some concerns in your mind, you know. What if not, you know? And this hinders you. When you have fear, you cannot follow God's will. It paralyzes you. This is important to know. Do not be afraid of nothing. I was also, in your age, probably afraid of a lot of things. But during the years, really, I learned not to be afraid anymore. And the Pope could say that so convincingly because he also went through a lot of troubles. You know, he grew up in communism in Poland. His priesthood was just, you know, always opposed by the secular state, by the communist state. You know, he was always persecuted and so on. And he really went through a lot of troubles in order to get to this amazing freedom the Pope has. So, what is freedom? What is freedom in our culture? In our culture, freedom is I'm independent, I can do whatever I want. I need to get rid of all rules, laws that shackle me, who imprison me. That is the freedom what Hollywood and novels and even in public schools is teaching you. Do what you like, realize yourself, get power, get money, get a good career. All this makes you free. But in reality, these things make us slaves, slaves. So what is freedom? Freedom of the gospel, the freedom Jesus wants you to reach. Now, one thing is important. You're in an age where you are making already, begin to make certain decisions, life decisions. You form certain habits. And once you form these habits, they will guide you throughout your life, and they're difficult to change. So right now, in your age, you need to get the right direction. You know, today, some people are in your age, they like basketball. And everything is around basketball. They watch all these games, they play basketball, they want to be a good basketball player, and so on. Everything goes around basketball or any other hobby. And this is not very good. The center must always be our Christian life, our Christian call. So again, what is freedom? Freedom according to the gospel is to be free from attachment, worldly things, everything that impedes me to really respond to God's call, what he has in mind for me for my life. So it's freedom from attachment for God and his will. And that's a great challenge I also had to go through. If we miss this point in our life that we do what we like and not what God likes, our life have no sense. They don't make sense. So how do we grow in this inner freedom? You know, one thing you need to remind. Last Sunday we had this first reading from the first book of Kings. You know, Elijah, he was sent by God to claim Elisha. So he threw his mantle, his cloak over Elisha and claimed him for God. And then he told him basically, you follow now God. You leave your dreams behind. And Elisha, he had 12 yoke of oxen plowing. What does that mean? 12 yoke of oxen is exceedingly much. He was a very rich man. In our days, you would say, he had a lot of cars. He had a BMW, he had a Mercedes, he had a Lamborghini, he had a Ferrari. His garage was full with great cars. So, and then, what does he do? He follows Elisha. The first thing you need to mark here, God does not ask, or Elisha does not ask Elisha, do you want that I do to you? He simply claims him. We all have a vocation from God. From all eternity, God has already a vocation for you. From all eternity. And he will not change that call. We can go another way, yes, and does not mean then we are lost, but it will not be the way God had originally in mind for us. So God has a very specific mission for you in life, a vocation. And this is also then in relation to the salvation of souls, to the good of the church, to the good of society. Some of you are probably called to the priesthood, religious life, the maturity probably to family life. And here's always, for each of these calls, you need to listen. Even if you feel called to family life, it's not just, you know, now I choose the girl, what I like, you know, or you have maybe already, some of you may have already a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It's not enough simply to say, we love each other and want to spend the rest of our lives together. It's not enough. It's not enough. You need to ask, when you have somebody you love and you think this could be my future spouse, you still need to ask, is this the spouse God has in mind for me? And this needs prayer. This needs prayer, that you pray about it and ask God for a sign and that he deepens this bond between you and your boyfriend and so on. And at one point, if you do it right, you will know we are meant for each other. We are meant. Absolutely. I can promise you this. If you really want to do and you're ready to follow God's call and you say, God, let me know if this girl or that boy is the right one for me. God will let you know, and then you know simply, interiorly. He will not talk to you, but you will simply know at one point, yes, we are meant for each other. And then go forward. So everything is grace. Everything is grace. So we need to be free for God, that we can fulfill that mission God has in mind for us for all eternity and become that person he wants us to be. Now, what did Elisha do after he was claimed? So Elisha claimed him for God to be his successor as prophet. He went back to his home and he slaughtered all the cattle. And then the yolk he used as fuel to boil the meat. He gave the meat away to his servants and his handmaids. And basically he destroyed all his reserves. And today you would say he gave away all his money, all his property, he emptied his bank accounts, he sold his stocks in order to follow God's call because he had this freedom and he became a great prophet. You know, in the Bible today the problem is freedom is self-expression, self-realization. I do what I want. I want to be independent that I can fulfill my dream. If you look in the Bible, you never find great people with this intention. In the Bible, the great people are always people who allow God to break into their lives and to tell them what is their vocation. Look at Abraham. Look at Noah. Look at David. Look at Isaac, Jacob, John the Baptist. God broke into their lives, and it was often like a shock. Let's maybe go to the most prominent example, and I think you can relate very much to the Blessed Mother. I think you all have a devotion to the Blessed Mother. Do you love the Blessed Mother? That's well, not much. I don't think you love her much. Do you love the Blessed Mother?
Yes,
yes, that's important. You all want to imitate her? You know, when you love the Blessed Mother and you're devoted to her, the next step is imitation. When the life of the Blessed Mother, her tenderness, her beauty, her warmth, her immaculate heart really appeals to you, then this becomes an ideal for you. You want to realize in your life. So we all want to be like the Blessed Mother. So the Blessed Mother, according to tradition, she made a vow of virginity. It was, of course, inspired by God. I do not want to say you all need to make a vow of virginity. No? It would be wrong to say for me. She made a vow of virginity. So she wanted, for God's sake, not have any, you know, relation with a man. To be fully pure for God. But then God broke into her life. The angel appeared to her, hail full of grace, and Our Lady was first troubled. The first point Our Lady knew, she is loved by God. And that is what we all need to realize, not only here, but it needs to arrive here. We are so much loved by God, and God's love is always first. He loves us even we are sinners. And there's nothing we can buy the love of God. There's nothing we have done or gained or whatever to deserve God's love. God's love is unconditional for your own sake. God has created you for love. And when we talk about love, freedom, as John Paul II also said, exists only for the sake of love. When you use your freedom to be selfish, you misuse, you abuse your freedom. God gave us our freedom that we say yes to Him. In this sense, freedom exists only for the sake of love. So I am free now to do something that is loving. That is how I need to use my freedom. Not in a selfish way, everything has to be according to my way. No, how can I love? This must be always our question. And then you use your freedom like the Blessed Mother. Every single act in your life our Blessed Mother did, every thought, every word was motivated by love and was oriented towards the glory of God or for the good of her neighbor. So this is very important to know. God is love and His love is first. He will always love you. Even you commit all the sins in the world, He loves you still, and you just need to repent. I'm sorry, and you really mean it, and all is gone. In this world, you will not get that. When you commit crimes, you go to prison, you pay for it. Justice, that's human justice. God's justice is different. How do we know that God loves us, that His love is first? He sent His Son as expiation for our sins. That's the greatest love. It's the greatest love. And this is basically represented, renewed at every sacrifice of the Mass. So At Annunciation, now God breaks, he sends the angel, breaks in the life of the Blessed Mother. It's first a shock for her. How can this be, since I do not know man? Now in my life, there happened something similar. I always wanted to be married so badly. All from childhood, also thought, I want to be a family father, a lot of kids, 10 kids at least. And now I was really looking forward to this time when I would find a good girl. And in fact, I found a good girl and we got even engaged. But then God showed me very clearly in one moment he wants me to be a priest. And I tell you, it was a shock. I was devastated. My dreams were gone. And I resisted that call. I resisted that call for several years. And that is what I regret basically the most in my life, that I resisted that call. It was very difficult because God had really shown me in a certain sense that he is love, how much he loves me. And then to say no to God, really, it tore me almost apart. I didn't want to disappoint the girl. I didn't want to disappoint the parents and so on. Everybody expected, you know, a nice wedding, you know, and a good family life. So first I resisted and it almost tore me apart. You know, when you really find Jesus, that he is good, that he is love, and he loves us so much, and then you do something against his will, this tears you apart. So it took me several years to finally, you know, and if I would have gotten at that time a guide who could have guided me through these troubles, through this crisis, it was a real crisis, I would have done much better. And therefore, this is also the reason why I give you that talk here today. Sometimes we need a guide, who guides us, who helps us to go through these things, helps us to discern. So then afterwards, I broke up with my girl and I entered the monastery. But it still took me some time till I really fully recovered from this. It was almost devastating for me in a certain sense. But by God's grace, you know, everything went well. And in the beginning, it was so hard to really separate from the girl. It was so hard. But now when I look back, I must say it was very good. And I'm so grateful to God. Even first, I was not very faithful to his call. I basically betrayed his love first. But still, he remained faithful. And then today, I must say, I'm so glad that I could then respond to the call to become a priest. So God breaks into your life. And this story of Elisha, what I told you, is not only for those who may be called to the priesthood or religious life. It is for all of you. You all must be open to God's call. Even your call to family life and you have a good girl and you get married to her, you still need to discern now your vocation. Your first vocation then is family. So it's not about then to, when you have a family, for example, for the girl, it could mean, do I really need to go to work? Of course, if the husband doesn't make enough money and you cannot meet, you know, the expenses, then of course you need to go to work. It needs a lot of renouncement. So maybe if the husband makes enough money, yes, then maybe stay home with the kids. Another thing was young people often do wrong. You know, they get married and they enjoy each other and, you know, they want first 5, 6, or 10 years, enjoy each other, make vacation and so on, and then have maybe some kids. Wrong. Very wrong. You know, the pastor of Assumption Grotto in Detroit, when he gave marriage class, he said, those of you who want to get married and are not ready to have right away kids, get out. Why is this? Why is this? Because in relationship, there's always the mutual love. But this mutual love must be fruitful. If you delay the fruit, the love between you and your husband, if it is too selfish, somebody We want simply have some fun the first 10 years, you know, and then some kids. But dear, you do not really use the present grace what you get from God. There must always be a fruit of love. Love is never selfish. Love is always giving. Therefore, freedom exists for the sake of love. There's also another maxim John Paul II always had, the law of the gift. The law of the gift. Naturally, because of original sin, we always want to possess, want to have more. And this is selfishness. So today the people say, we want to possess, cling to it, claim things, get things for yourself. No, we need to give away. When Our Lady said yes to God's plan, he gave herself away, her own plans. Saint Joseph, he wanted to separate from Our Lady. When the angel came, no, I'm committed now to God's call. And so you see that throughout the Bible. People, they give up. They give themselves away, so to say. And the more you give yourself away for God's plan, love of neighbor and so on, the more you increase, the more you expand, the greater you are, your being. If you want to gain your life, give it away out of love for others, for God. If you want to lose your life, cling to it, be selfish, egoist, and you'll lose your life. And that's a great paradox of the spiritual life. There's also the great contrast between the world and the gospel. The world says, possess. What is the opposite of love? What's the opposite of love? A question for you. Yes? Hate. Philosophically, you're right. Theologically, not. The opposite of love is, according to St. Francis, to want to possess. If you want to possess, you do not love. It's about you. Love is to give yourself away, to make a gift of yourself to someone else. Vatican II teaches, man cannot find fully himself except by a sincere gift of self. What did John Paul II do? He gave himself away. He also had his own plans. He was a poet, he was an athlete, he was a writer. He had so many talents. But for the sake to serve Christ and the flock, he gave all these things up. Ultimately, I did the same thing. I gave up my family. I gave up a lot of things in order to make a gift of myself to God and others. And the more you do this, the more you expand, the greater you are. Why is the Blessed Mother the greatest creature? The greatest saint or Saint Joseph? Because they gave themselves away. The Blessed Mother beneath the cross even offered the most beloved thing in her life, Jesus. He consented to the death of his son on the cross. So love is in giving yourself away. And freedom exists only for love. That means that you can make the conscious choice. I give my life to God, my family, the flock I will have, you know, in the future and so on. You give yourself away. That is true love. So I can tell you, God has with each one of you a great plan, with each one of you. Maybe not, you know, appearing at television or in radio, but each one of you, even it may be a hidden family life, God has a great plan. Maybe some of your kids will become bishops, maybe a pope, a priest. But every one of you has a great vocation, and God has great plans for each one of you. That is really true. Have that always in mind. So you can really now lay out your life in the sense, you know, what do you like? Now, we have all principles. What are your life principles? For example, you can say, I want to feel secure. I want to feel at peace. I want to have, you know, a nice career. I want to have enough money. I want to have fun in this world. I want to play basketball and all these things. If this is your point of reference in life, then you'll go wrong. then everything what you will do will give the everything else in your life will give direction in this way. Everything what you then do will be directed to achieve this goal. What does God want? What was the reference point of Jesus and Mary? What was the reference point of Mary? It was not, how can I realize myself? How can I get more money? How can I be secure in this world? How can I have the peace of the world that I have, you know, a nice home and all the things? This was all secondary to Our Lady. Our Lady asked this question. How can I serve God? How can I glorify God in my life? How can I save souls? How can I serve Saint Joseph and Jesus? So everything was really a giving of herself away for the service of God and neighbor. So look at the dynamic of the Annunciation Gospel. The angel comes and she brings God's call, God's will for Our Lady. And Our Lady says yes. And what's the result of this yes? You all know. What's the result of Our Lady's yes? The Word became flesh. Was the salvation of the whole world. Because Our Lady said yes to her call, God became man and saved the whole world. Without her yes, God would not have become man and will not be saved. Maybe God had a plan B, I don't know. But according to this plan, Our Lady had to say yes. There needed to be someone who said yes to God's plan. The same structure in your life. There are big decisions you make, life-orienting decisions, and maybe smaller decisions, but they're all important. They're all important. If your little decisions, the minor decisions, are selfish, you will hardly make a decision for God when something is very important. So important is that we try to make all decisions according to God's will in our life. So also, when God comes to you and you know this is God's will for me, then embrace it and say yes. What will happen? Grace comes down, you will be enriched, you will expand, your being will expand and you become free. Free from your own selfishness and free for God, for the good and for love. That is our vocation, to be free. For freedom Christ has set us free, St. Paul said. There was also a reading on last Sunday, the second reading. For freedom Christ has set us free. And freedom is for the sake of love. Really keep that in mind. So now Our Lady, she said yes to God, and now she becomes really the mother of God. What the angels say to her? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will rule of the house of David, and his kingdom will have no end. What a promise. What a promise. Our Lady would become the Mother of God, the one who rules over the whole universe forever. What a promise. What could the Blessed Mother now thought? Oh, I will be the queen. And I will rule with my son. Of course, Our Lady did not say that. She declared herself a humble handmaid of the Lord. But you see, things then afterwards comes really different. If you look at this promise of the angel, you would think she would live in a palace. She would live in a palace. But it's not what happened. What was after the Annunciation? Our Lady gave birth in a stable. He will be the greatest. He will rule over the house of Jacob. Our Lady could ask, wait a minute. Was this maybe an error? Was this maybe a false, you know, false prophecy? Was this a bad angel? She was rejected at the inn. And then something very bad happened. Because of Jesus' birth, Herod slaughtered all the children up to 2 years in Bethlehem. Now, Lady Gertrude thought, what went wrong? Because of me and because of Jesus, you know, all these children are slaughtered. Then they had to flee to Egypt. You see, God created a lot of problems for Our Lady. And it is also what happens in our life. You know, when you follow God's call, what He wants, you have to go through some tests and trials. Again, why did John Paul become a saint, such a great pope? Because he had to go through a lot of trials in communist Poland. A lot of trials. And in my life too, now I had to go through a lot of trials that I could become the priest I am today. I don't know how God sees it, but with every trial you grow. The love of the Blessed Mother grew tremendously in her trials. St. Elizabeth called her blessed because of her faith. So there were no angels anymore afterwards. Our Lady was really very much tested by God, her faith. And with each act of test, with each test, with each act of love, she grew and grew and grew in freedom. And her love grew so much that now she can be the mother of all of us. Therefore, she's the mother of all humankind. Because throughout her life, she grew and grew and grew and grew. She never said no to God. Never. Always yes. And her love grew so much that now she has so much love that she can love the whole world, every individual, me and you, individually with her whole love. So much love does the Blessed Mother have. How do you grow in love? How do you grow in love? Not just by two or three times, okay, I do that out of love for my mom and so on. You can only grow in love if today you strive to love the best you can. At every moment you strive to love the best you can. When you do that today, then your capacity to love grows a little bit today. And tomorrow you can love a little bit more. And tomorrow again, if you make the law of love your goal in life, your point of reference, a principle, I want to love. I want to do what is God's will. If you do that tomorrow too, then the next day you have a greater capacity to love. And then you really grow. And so every day, and then you grow and grow and grow. It's almost infinite. To grow in love, there's no limit. And we need to have that. This needs to be our focus. This must be our program of life, to love like Our Lady, to give our lives away for the sake of God. You know, we all are looking for happiness. We all are looking for happiness. Whether you seek your happiness in sports or friends or whatever, what you really are seeking, you are seeking Christ. You may not know it. Only God can make us happy. Nothing in this world can make us happy. And only God will never betray you. God will never disappoint you. In this life, you can have friends, a spouse, children. Everyone in this world, every human being, will in one with whom you have a relationship, will disappoint you in one or the other way. God will never disappoint you. If you accept God as number one in your life, and you open yourself for His call, then you will be safe, and God's plan for you will also be safe. There must, of course, be paid a certain cost. It has a certain cost. If you want to become great in the kingdom of God, if you want to expand, we need to die to ourselves. So in your life, do not try to be independent. You know, now in your age, you know, you come freer and freer from your parents. You get more out of the house. They give you more freedom outside. And that is good, because now you need to begin to use your freedom well. Not selfishly, but for God, for your family, for your friends. Always in view of eternity, in view of the glorification of God. So this is something what I really want you to do ask yourself, what does God want of me? How can I serve God today in my life? Do not ask, how can I have today fun? How can I, realize myself? How can I feel good today? No. How can I love? How can I dispose myself today that God's will be done in my life? God will not disappoint you. He will challenge you. It is not easy to follow God's will at times. He will challenge you as he challenged Elisha. How he challenged St. Joseph. How he challenged Our Lady. How he challenged St. John the Baptist. How he challenged John Paul II. He has to challenge us. He has to challenge us because we are attached to so many things, to our own will, to our own likes. God must free us first from our own ego, then you become free for him. And then you expand, you become great, you become big. Not as the world thinks, but before God. And you become free. And it's something so liberating. And when you come to that point, you don't have fear anymore. Fear disappears. What does St. John says in his letter? Love drives out fear. Love drives out fear. The more you give your life away to God, your fear will diminish. Your fear will evaporate. Ask yourself too, of what am I afraid in my life? And then really counteract these fears. Faith in God, trust in God, acts of love. So love is really the goal of your life. How can I love? How can I do good? How can I glorify God? How can I serve the parish? How can I serve the family? And when you are called to family life, always ask, what really serves my family? Even the guys, maybe, you could get a great career, but it would demand so much of your time that you cannot take care properly of your family. Don't use that job. Take a job where you have enough time for your family. That's your first vocation. And the children God gives to you, they are not your own. They belong to God. It's a gift from God to you, the children you receive in your future marriages. Have always in mind, they are God's. It's a gift of God to me, and I need to give it back to God. Now, how do you use this talent God gives you in the kids? You need to live your faith in a convincing way. You need to be a man or a woman of faith like Our Lady. A woman of hope like Our Lady who puts all her trust in God. And you must be a woman who loves like Our Lady or a husband who loves like Jesus. And then your children have the example. It is not enough just, I meet so many family mothers today who come up, Father, I don't know what happened with my kids. And now I send them to Catholic school, we go on Sunday to church, and I pray every night with them. And now they left the church. It doesn't surprise me, because they never had really given the kids a life of a committed life, that God is really the center of family life. They, in a certain sense, they had a little bit Christianity. They went to church. They did the necessary. But they did all the things the world also does, what the world enjoys. They did not really live a life set apart from the world, that God is the center. Kids are not convinced by words, but kids are convinced by example. Albert Schweitzer was once asked, what's the best means, the best way to educate my kids? He said, there are three methods. The first by example, the second by example, the third by example. Only by example, when you live your faith, when Christ really lives in your heart, and you have this personal encounter with God, with Jesus, only then can you live your faith. And God wants to give you, each one of you, this grace. This personal encounter where you know, now I know, God is good, God is love, and He loves me so much. God wants to give you all this experience, but you need to be open to Him. So God gives you those who are called to family. He gives you this gift of kids. And He'll also be generous. God is so generous. God is exceedingly generous. Now be generous with God. And now, what I mean here, be generous with your kids. Also the number of kids. John Paul II said, referring to Genesis, the book of Genesis, when God said, multiply, you know. He said, okay, multiply means at least 3 kids in a marriage. Now today, most marriages have 1, 2 kids or non-kid. Because for different reasons, often it's selfishness, often not. They simply cannot have more kids, of course, that's not a problem. But if you can have kids, you know, physically, also financially and so on, do not deny the fruit of your love to God. God wants that your love as husband and wife is fruitful. Now, one woman came to me and said, Father, I don't understand why these families, it was pointing on homeschool families, can have 10 or 9 or 12 kids. I have one that's more than enough. And she really didn't understand. Here again, the law of the gift. When you give yourself away, you expand. You grow. Each time in the future, when you have a kid and you receive it with love from God, you're open to life, a gift of God to you, and you receive it with love. God gives you a greater capacity to love. And then you have another kid and you receive it with love, not with this, oh, another kid. Now you say, thank you, Jesus. And it gives you the capacity to love more. With each kid you have, God increases your capacity to love. You will see that. Does not mean motherhood is not challenging. It is challenging. It's only challenging that you can love even more. But one thing I can promise you, God will never disappoint you. And you will be free. And you will have a peace and security in your life, which is only possible when you love God with a whole heart. So do not be afraid to be holy, John Paul II used to say. So, coming back to Our Lady, maybe I tell you another vocation story of Monsignor Sawyer. He was a priest, a pastor in Assumption Grotto in Detroit, where we served. And he had also a curious vocation story. He was actually a convert, and during his time in the army, he converted to Catholic faith. So, and after his conversion, he dated a young woman. And then one night, he was still in the army, you know, he was walking along the beach, you know, in moonlight and holding hands and so on, and it was a very romantic scene. And suddenly, he said, something was tipping on his shoulder. You are going to the seminary as soon as you get out of the army. Can you imagine this? He said it was his guardian angel. And he also, because he said the same thing what I experienced, basically, he said it was a shock. It was a shock. He needed a couple of days, you know, to really gain his strength. And then he said to his girl, no, we need to separate because I will go to the seminary. These are hard decisions. Therefore, I tell you this. Sometimes we have to make tough decisions. But when you know it's God's will, do the decision out of love for God, you will never regret it. God will only give so much more, beyond your expectations. You can never outdo God in His generosity. So be really open to God and make always the decision according to His will. So Our Lady then, we said first, the first point is, you are all loved by God immensely, and I hope you experience this love of God in your own soul. The second, because God loves you, he needs to break into your life in one or the other way. He can call you to the priesthood or religious life or to family life, but it will always mean for you, you need to make some changes. You need to give up some dreams. It will always mean this. And once you embrace this, then he gives you a mission. God has a mission for you in mind, which only you can fulfill. Nobody else can fulfill this mission. Like John Paul II again, he was also engaged to a girl. And then he felt his vocation to the priesthood, he also separated from his girl. God knew he wanted to make him pope. So in here he corresponded to God's call, and his vocation grew and grew. A vocation is not just to receive it, to know it, but then by living the vocation grows and grows and grows. When you become a mother or a father, it's only the beginning. It's not now finished. No, with every day you live in family life as a father, your fatherhood grows. You grow in the vocation to be a father. You grow and grow and grow. Hopefully, that you become such a father as God is a father. As a priest too, once you are ordained, your vocation is not finished. It goes on. Every day you grow in your vocation to be a father, to grow and grow and grow by doing God's work. So you always grow till the end of life, also as a mother. So embrace your vocation. Do not say no. God has a mission for you in life. Some of you may have a mission, I don't know, in public life, politics, I don't know, or in a company. Some of you are certainly also called to the priesthood or religious life. So, and I want to encourage you, when you feel it, go all the way. Do not stop half the way. And another thing is what you need to do in order to prepare yourself to give the right answer is, I talked about freedom, freedom from attachment. How do you detach yourself from things? There are two ways. The first is you need to make, first of all, prayer life is a given thing. Now you know that. Prayer life, we have a prayer life, not just vocal prayer, but to pray from the heart. But then you need to do sacrifices every day, voluntary sacrifices. So not only when ma'am tells you, do the dishes, okay, I have to do the dishes, but say, yes, I do the dishes out of love for God, out of love for my ma'am. Don't do things only because you are told to. Do things in obedience, out of love, and then you grow. And even you are not obliged to do something, maybe do it anyway. Maybe if you are a baby in the family, maybe change the diapers, even though your mom doesn't tell you. Clean the bathroom, even your mom may not tell you. Clean the car, even your dad may not tell you to do. Do something extra for your family members, for your friends, and always out of love. This is so important. If you just always do what you like, you know, and you do the things what your parents make you do only because you have to do, you cannot grow. You will always be mediocre. The worst thing that can happen in your life is that you are mediocre and lukewarm. You will not feel any fulfillment in life. I can tell you from my own experience, only when you give, you feel fulfillment. Only when you give, you can find happiness and peace. Only when you give away out of love, you will be free of fear. That is the way. It's a paradox to the world. The world does not understand it. But it's the law of God. It's the law of love. And if you start today to do it, you will feel it's the truth. You need to experience. You need to do it in order to understand. Simply listening to me does not help. Doesn't bring you further. You need to get the information, but then you need to do it. And we'll see how you grow, how you grow. So again, what I always recommend everybody, we need to have a sacrificial spirit. We have to be a sacrificial spirit. What does sacrifice mean, first of all? What is a sacrifice? I ask you another question. What is a sacrifice? Is sacrifice something that always hurts, that costs you something? Yeah, this is a very good sacrifice. Sacrifice does not necessarily mean, you know, pain or suffering or something you do not like. Sacrifice comes from the Latin word sacrum facere. It means simply to make holy. To make holy. In the Old Testament, they had, for example, sacrifice of thanksgiving. For example, I can have today an ice cream and say, "Thank you, Jesus." It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a nice sacrifice, isn't it? It's a great sacrifice. So if you acknowledge every gift you have, you received from God, "Jesus, thank you for this ice cream." It's a sacrifice. And pleasing to God, and helps you to grow in this thanks, gratitude spirit, in the spirit of gratitude, that God gives you more graces. Okay, this is a very pleasant sacrifice. But then come sacrifices that cost ourselves something, and they are more valuable. As I said already, do something you're not obliged to do, which costs you something. For example, I always tell people, and I make that proposal to you, and if you do it, you will see how much you grow in freedom, how much more peaceful, calm you become. I realized that in my own life. For example, no meal without a little sacrifice. No meal without a little sacrifice. I'm not saying big sacrifice, bread and water every day. I'm not saying this. So if you like in the morning, for example, 3 eggs, take only 2 eggs. And say, "Jesus, for love of you, I sacrifice this egg and I offer it up maybe for those who have nothing to eat. Or I do that for my mom, for my dad, who has a hard day today at work." See, here you give yourself away and you grow in freedom, you grow in love. So no meal without a sacrifice. Or you can also, you know, today I take from everything that's on the table, not just what I like. For example, if you don't like spinach, have some spinach. It's anyway very healthy. Or you take a little bit more of what you don't like, a little bit less what you like the best. So you can be very inventive here. How can I make a sacrifice in order to bring joy to Jesus? So this sacrificial spirit you need to have. You know, today we speak a lot to young people about God loves you and you're precious to him and all these things. It's all sugar for you. It's all sugar for you. But often when we say that too much, it's all the truth. But if we do not tell you the full truth, what so many young people today end up is, they cannot commit. They cannot commit to the life God has in mind for them. And the reason number one is, they never learned to voluntarily make sacrifices. Then you can, if you do not learn that, if you're not trained, an athlete in order to win the race, you know, he has to be very careful what he eats, when he eats, and so on. And he has to do a lot of training every day for an athlete. Also, when you want to fulfill God's will in your life, you also need to train yourself. Because we are selfish by nature. Because of original sin, it's so deep-rooted in our lives. John Paul II also said, it is easier for us to do evil than good. It's easier for us to be selfish, isn't it? For me, it's easy to be selfish. For you too. It's easier for us to do evil than good. That's the truth. I can easily overeat. I can easily get maybe a little bit impatient. So we need to train ourselves by God's grace. And therefore, we need to make these sacrifices to train ourselves. And then when God comes to you and wants a greater sacrifice, then you are ready to say yes. You cannot win the race if you never train. You cannot win. You cannot fulfill God. That is one problem in today's education, even in relative good families. They tell the people, "You're loved so much," and so on, but we need to be challenged. And once you accept a challenge from God, and you say, yes, I trust what Jesus is, even I cannot understand what you want, it doesn't make sense, but I know you want this from me, I trust you. You will realize that you grow in depths. Suddenly you have a great experience of the goodness and greatness of God in your life. And this fulfills you. It expands you. And you want more of it. But that's not the end. It will go on always like this. You know, our lady did not stop, you know. Her life ended only on the cross beneath when she had to make the greatest sacrifice to give Jesus away. And I do not give you just sugar. Good also, for us it will not be that painful as for our lady. But God also needs to lead us through valleys and then turn to Jesus. Stick with him. He will bring you through the tunnel. You get out and you look back. It was very good. And you grow in depths. Your life becomes meaning. You become free and you can be a light for others. That is now the third point. You have to be a light for others to lead others to Christ. And you need to go through all this. It's like, you know, a woman, in order to give life, she needs to go through labor pains. And that is a symbol for us. We need to go through the labor pains of detachment, to the labor pains, to deny ourselves things that hinder us to grow in freedom, to grow in love. So do not be afraid of God's love. A lot of people are afraid. Why are people today afraid of God? Huh? Are you afraid of death, for example? Who is afraid of death? You don't need to raise your hand. Ask yourself, am I afraid of death? Oh, it's over, huh? Last question. If I'm afraid of death, you know, then you know you have still a way to go in order, you know, to find God's love. You didn't really find love. Because, you know, why would I be afraid to meet the one I love the most? Why would I be afraid to die in order to meet God, the Blessed Mother, whom I love most? Why would I be afraid? It's crazy. People who look forward with joy to the death, they are free. Because they know and believe that's the greatest love. That's the greatest love. So let's finish this little reflection. So be not afraid. And maybe at the end I read you a little story. The story of the candle. I got this story from one of my priest brothers. The day came where the match said to the candle. I said to you, we need to be light. I have the task to light you. Oh no, the candle replied. Was frightened. Anything but that. When I will be set on fire, my days will be counted, and nobody could admire my beauty anymore. The match asked, but do you really want to remain cold and hard your whole life without having lived really? But being on fire is painful and saps my energies, the candle whispered insecurely and full of fear. This is true, the match replied, but this is exactly the purpose of our vocation. We are called to be light. What I can do is very few. If ever I would not light you, so I would fail the goal of my life. I am here in order to kindle fire. You are the candle. You are to give light and warmth to others. Everything you give in terms of pain, suffering, and strength will be transformed into light. You will not be lost when you allow to be consumed. Others will carry on your fire. Only if you deny yourself, you will die. And hearing that, the candle sharpens its wick and lay and set full of expectation. I ask you, light me. And it became light for others. This light was Christ. This light was Our Lady. This light was John Paul II. This light were all the saints. And that is your way too, your God-willed way for your life too, to reach that freedom. So now let's pray a Hail Mary together and ask Our Lady for the grace that we may always unconditionally can say yes, you know, to God's will. that we are really free of our own wishes, that we fully and wholeheartedly allow God to write the story of our lives, that we get rid of our selfishness. Hail Mary, together, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. Through intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your guardian angel, they're all here, you know, there's an angel there, you know that? Are you aware that here are a lot of angels in this room? A lot of angels, and they guard you and guide you, inspire you, and without them, none of us would be here. So build a friendship with your guardian angel. It will help you a lot too on your way. Build a friendship. He's here. Talk to him like a friend. You can ask him whatever you want. Open yourself to him, and he will enlighten you and strengthen you and guide you. So again, now I finish really the blessing. So in the session of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your guardian angels, all the ancient saints, may the Lord God bless you, protect you, strengthen you, give you always the grace to fully correspond to his will, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your attention.